everyone, and welcome to episode one of a new podcast called Mutuality Matters, Gender Theology for the Gospel Empowerment of Men and Women. We are so excited that you chose to listen to us today, and we want to tell you a little bit about ourselves. I am Reverend Erin Moniz, and I'm here with my co-host, Blake Dean. Blake, who are you?
I'm an undergraduate student at Berry College in Rome, Georgia, who's just had a fascinating interest in gender theology for a couple years now and excited to learn more and ask more questions. So, yeah.
What got you started with gender theology? Like, what keeps that in front of you?
Sure. So two big things. There was a book, actually, it's not a theological book. It's a book by bell hooks called The Will to Change. And it was the first time I ever had to ask questions about my own masculinity and my masculinity's implications for women and for femininity, but also kind of the ways that I didn't fit in the constraints of a traditional view of masculinity. I had parents who literally pulled me out of middle school because they watched me trying to become a kind of man that I wasn't. And I think that was a really formative experience, as well as I've just been surrounded by really amazing, God-fearing women that know their worth, both married and single. So I think the people that have helped to raise me and form me, knowingly or unknowingly, I always take with me in my questions and in my explorations. What about you?
Oh, yes. For me, I am a chaplain. We're recording actually at Plumwood Cottage at Berry College, where we both coexist. So I am the assistant chaplain, and Blake, among the many jobs that he has, including working in, was it the Women and Gender Studies department, also works in the chaplain's office, and we have these conversations all the time. Part of what brings me to the table is I am a chaplain to college students, but I'm also an ordained deacon in the Anglican Church of North America. I have been working in student ministry pretty consistently for like the last 20 years. And when I was seeking ordination, about 5 years ago now, and even when I was looking, to be honest, before then, when I was actually even just seeking to go back to school to get my master's of divinity, my gender became this glaring issue because I'd been raised in a home where we were devout Christ followers and we were in church all the time, and my family were very intense believers and continue to be. But women and various places in the church was strictly off limits. And I learned that at a young age. And as I continued to discern my call, it became more and more difficult to separate the journey of sort of vocational discernment from how my gender played into that. And so I became sort of a reluctant expert in gender theology because I had to learn what God thinks about all of this. And I had to come by it genuinely, and it became just kind of a years and years quest. And now, being a female minister at a college where there are a lot of students, particularly women, who are discerning this very same thing, I try to keep up with gender theology. And so I continue to study and write and reflect on these things because it comes up a lot just working where I do. And so let's talk a little bit about how we know each other. So we've got that we work in the same office, but what was it, sophomore year?
It was my freshman year, so it would have been freshman. 3 years ago. Actually, you were a very important part of my exploration of gender theology. Because I was the guy that came into college and emailed the director of Women and Gender Studies and said, I need to be in your class. And so I emailed her and did that. But God was doing some really interesting and unique things in me at the time. And you came and gave a guest lecture and talked about the varying perspectives on women and ordination and marriage and headship and subordination of women and empowerment of women. And I emailed you and I said, I have approximately 20 more questions. And so we got breakfast and we did that probably once a month for about a year.
That's right.
And so our relationship began with this conversation. Like, this is the thing that we have shared.
We're destined from for the this. Beginning.
I know. And now everyone else gets to listen. Now
everyone, in which, let's face it, this is episode one. So hello to our family and like five closest friends on this podcast. We're very excited. But really, truly, Blake and I like talk about gender theology all the time, which actually led us to why we're doing this podcast. I know I'm jumping a little bit ahead of our itinerary here, but I think that's a nice segue because part of why we're even talking today is, it was earlier this year and we love podcasts, right, Blake? I mean, we love podcasts. We listen to a lot of podcasts and mostly about things that interest us and the topic of gender theology, particularly when it comes to biblical views about different spheres of egalitarianism and complementarianism and submission, and of course all the classic passages. And there are just some wonderful authors and resources out there. And so we were talking one day and I was like, well, what podcasts do you listen to related to this topic? And neither of us could think of any.
And if someone was going to find them, it would have been one of us.
Exactly. So we started a quest and found that somewhere along the way, the podcast universe has sort of a black hole when it comes to this particular range of topics specifically. And I'm not saying there aren't podcasts out there about like Christian feminism. Like we found a couple of those, but what is unique to this podcast in particular is because we both believe very strongly that how we think about gender theology has to be conducted in a way and how it affects both women and men. Mm. So we should talk about women's issues, but we can't exclusively talk about women's issues. We need to be able to talk about this, hence the title Mutuality Matters versus something like Christian feminism or something of that nature. We wanted to look at both sides, but we thought, you know, there isn't a podcast out there.
And I think something else that was really important to us is how do we have this conversation within the bounds of scripture and using scripture as our ultimate authority and guide to the revelation of who God is and how God acts in the world and the kingdom vision for life on earth and life together.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great because I feel like gender theology oftentimes is thought of as sort of a like a scholarly venture, but the way we're going to be dealing with it here is there will definitely be some exegeting and looking at, you know, scripture directly, but it's really very much how we do life. Mm. Very, you know, practitioner centered. And for any of you who have ever had to just have your gender be an issue that intersected with something with your faith or church life or family, you realize this is not theoretical. This isn't just something that we can sit in our ivory tower and just write about. There has to be a kingdom ethic, right? Something that actually works, boots on the ground. And so that is a big driving force for these discussions and what we hope to put out into the podcast universe. And hopefully for you listeners will be valuable to you in terms of just knowing that there's somebody out there addressing these issues more than just like one podcast here and there. We're going to dedicate this entire podcast to these topics.
And we're grateful for the scholarly work. The scholarly work allows us to be here, but I am horribly underqualified to even claim to attempt to do that. So I am excited just to ask questions and explore answers along with you in this process and to listen to the voices that are already doing the hard work of learning Greek and exegeting passages and
but you're almost there, my friend.
Oh,
don't let him fool you, listeners. Just because he's an undergrad doesn't mean that he's not fully entrenched in the scholarly work that we'll be referencing here and well on his way to other things. Although I do feel for you in my heart when you do get to learning Greek and Hebrew because I feel your pain. I do. Seminary was not kind in that respect. Languages are hard. But we love them. So moving to some of the topics and questions that we're hoping to address, like what, Blake, what are we going to talk about in this podcast? What are some of the things we hope to touch on?
Sure. So in our next episode, we're going to talk about what is mutuality? What does that word mean? And where does this come from biblically? We also will touch on theological anthropology. So this is the theological understanding of what it means to be human. And how that affects our conversations about gender. We'll eventually touch on issues of masculinity and femininity, how gender is both expressed and prohibited and restricted in church life and Christian life together, in our personal relationships, whether that be marriage or dating or non-sexual relationships, and how those dynamics work together, and really just exploring these topics in the context of what does scripture lead us to believe about this? How do we help bring the kingdom of heaven here on earth in our relationships together?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, friends, I hope you strap in and hang on, because we have like 100 episodes just like brewing in our head. We want to talk about all those things. We want to talk about global issues that affect both men and women as Christianity spreads, you know, all over the world and affects different cultures as they've come up through history, issues of patriarchy and how genders are viewed affect culture and affect justice. And we're going to look at some of those things. We're going to have some fun people on this podcast. We have a local group of friends and a national group of friends that we cannot wait to bring on and eventually interview to get their expertise and perspective. And it's across the board, y'all. It's theologians and advocates and practitioners and thinkers and authors and like all kinds of folks that we're hoping to have on this podcast, just because Blake and I are delightful. We really are. We're delightful people. But I don't think you want to be listening to us, just us, every single week. So we're going to bring some fun people, especially people whose books are coming out and who are contributing to the work of gender theology that we love. And so, to be honest, let's just face it. We started a podcast so that we could like interview cool people that we want to talk to. I mean, for real.
I just want Cynthia, if you're listening, Cynthia Westfall, who is a foremost Pauline scholar, if you're listening, and I know you're not, I just want to talk to you. Thank you.
Yes, that was our desperate pitch on episode one for our favorites. No, we're excited. So many great men and women that we're hoping to have, and some that may be new to y'all, and books that come out and articles. We'll be touching on any number of things. But at the end of the day, all forwarding the conversation of gender theology and how that affects people of faith, wrestling with how these issues work in their churches and marriages and in their lives and politics.
So what are we excited about on this podcast? Like, what are you looking forward to talking about? What are you looking forward to exploring? What are you looking forward to share?
Oh, gosh. I am excited about getting to finally have a dialogue that breeds the development and the curation of these thoughts that are always rambling around in my head. You know, you read books and you read articles and you engage in these sort of thoughts and ideas. But this is why I love our conversations that we have in the office all the time. It's just getting to put those out there and to get feedback and to get somebody else's perspective. I love learning about gender theology, and I'm excited to learn so much more. What about you, Blake Dean?
I think I'm just excited to continue exploring the questions I have. I love what Tish Harrison Warren says about gender theology as a whole. She's like, you can only ever be 80% sure, right? So being able to explore questions that I already have, I'm so excited to talk about the implications for masculinity. That's something I'm really passionate about. And how discipleship comes into contrast sometimes with our ideas of traditional masculinity and what the gospel may require of us because of that. But more than anything, I'm just excited to learn more about what the body of Christ looks like in its male and female forms.
Yes, that is so great. I have no fun way of segueing into talking about vocab.
Yeah, we kind of skipped over that.
That's okay. Okay, going into it. So in some of the things that we're going to address, topics and otherwise, we wanted to take this first podcast and talk a little bit about some of the terms that are used significantly in these conversations with gender theology, two in particular that we'll reference. And we don't want to take the time every single podcast to unpack these words. And so we wanted to do it for you here. And those two words are, like Dean,
complementarian and egalitarian.
Yes. There they are, folks. Don't be scared.
And our caveat is these words are actually not the most helpful.
They're really not. And if you ascribe to them, bless you. And sometimes labels are just the easiest thing to go to. But we want to talk a little bit about why they're not helpful, because they can often be confusing. They can often be confusing for people. So give us your take first.
Sure. So a complementarian position of gender is that male and female were created to complement one another. However, this was done in a hierarchical manner, with men being created first and created as the height of the hierarchy, mm-hmm. and women created as the right below men on the hierarchy. This is not, to be charitable to our complementarian brothers and sisters, this does not permit abuse. This does not permit oppression or exploitation, but rather they, I believe, would see this hierarchy as an ordered creation and a way of ordering creation in maleness and femaleness.
Yes. And so, like, what I get all the time is when people hear the word complementarian and they think of, oh, male and female, they're being complementary, right? Oh, we're just different, but we complement each other. And there's this feeling of sort of partnership and uniqueness and coming together for something bigger and better. And that's a nice vision. It's just not representative of the group that wears this label. Hierarchical or subordinationists would probably be a closer term to fit, because the idea of men and women being complementary is not in the sense of coming from sort of equal footing to each other. It's like they're complementary, but someone is always subordinate, and that person tends to be the female who is subordinate, and they use scripture to back this up. So I feel like the word complementarian and complementary is a bit misleading. But so, not to pick on complementarians too much, because we have similar beef with egalitarians. So Blake, tell us a little bit about that.
Egalitarians, in its most charitable form, would be male and female were both created in the image of God and were created together to work together for a kingdom vision. Male and female are equal in value, task, and purpose, and ability. And so as male and females work together, they can do so not in a hierarchical way, but rather in a partnership way. Where this gets a little tricky is sometimes when we hear the word egalitarian, we can think we're erasing the distinction between maleness and femaleness, right? Which again is not the most descriptive of the egalitarian group of friends that we're discussing.
Yes, yes. I think the misnomer I get most often with this term is people think of androgyny. They think of this idea of we're trying to make both male and females the same. We're trying to make sure everybody's equal, everybody gets the fair share. There's no distinctions, no uniqueness, no separation of any kind. And I don't think that would be a fair assumption of the position taken by most egalitarians. And to be fair, in both spheres of egalitarianism and complementarianism, there's a spectrum. So we want to be fair, because when we represent these views, we're going to try to be as specific and gracious as possible to the groups that we're representing, because you've got complementarians on one end of the spectrum where it's very strict towards women. Women shouldn't be educated. Women need to stay in the home under the covering of their dads until they are placed under the covering of their husbands. Very extreme. All the way up to more sort of generous complementarians that would actually function in a more equal way, but still ascribe to the idea of headship. So there's a spectrum with complementarians. And with egalitarians, there is too. It's very much from sort of middle of the road, still sort of functioning somewhat under the auspice of seeing men and women equal, but not really living that out in all things, all the way to probably what people would consider very extreme or progressive ideas about men and women and gender in general. So there's really, we don't want to paint with too broad a brush, but when these terms are used, and they will be used often in this podcast, we wanted to just sort of clarify that We do not see these terms as particularly helpful, but they are the shorthand that is available to us and what will translate to many of the listeners who listen and to many of the people that we have on. So we will use them as shorthand, but complementarians, in my view, look more like hierarchical subordinationists. The more extreme would be traditionalist patriarchalists, which is actually patriarchalists was a term that was used, complementarian sort of the softer version that has been used in more modern times. And then for egalitarians, I know that there are several egalitarians who actually prefer mutualists. Mm. And that is the stance that we tend to take, hence the title, which we'll go into more in the next podcast. But the idea of mutuality, not androgyny, but a partnership that is not based on a view of the sexes that is ascribed to sort of a cultural lens, but pulling from biblical values. And we'll have to dig into that more. But we just wanted to unpack those words so that for our listeners, if there's any confusion or if you yourself find frustration with these, we hear you. We feel you. We share your frustration with some of these terms. So we will try to do the best we can with them.
Yeah. And I think looking at the spectrum, it's helpful also to remember, if I could give a quick caveat, that wherever either you have been or wherever you are on that spectrum, we want to be gracious and charitable about that. We believe most Christians operating on that spectrum are seeking to be as deeply faithful as they know how to be. And we just have questions for both extremes. And we want to explore that vision, both Aaron and I together, but also with the people listening together, to know that these are questions that we have, and we would love to invite you into that conversation charitably and graciously.
Yes. And to just sort of wrap up this explanation and sort of this introductory podcast, for both Blake and I, when we were setting this up and talking about what's going to really be behind this podcast, the gospel is the reason. The gospel is the reason. What we mean by that is that you've probably already heard hints of this in our explanation leading up to this, but we truly believe that every discussion with gender theology, every time we talk about these issues, whether scholarly or sensitive issues, we have to start and end with Christ. We have to start and end with the cross. We have to understand things through the lens and context of the cross and the resurrection and the gospel. And we hope to be consistent in our approach. And listeners, you know, this is something we invite you into because, you know, we're on social media. You can find Mutuality Matters, which is actually just at Mutuality Matter, no S because Twitter, only so many things. But you can find us on these formats, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and we hope that you will see that what we're trying to do is coming from this gospel perspective and this gospel foundation. We're not doing this for our own ends. We're not doing this for our own means. Lord knows we're not doing it for the money. We are here because we really do believe that the gospel changes lives, and at the end of the day, our gender theology has to align with that, or else we will get distortions of that will be damaging to both men and women.
Amen.
Yeah. Anything to add to that, Blake Dean?
No, I feel that's great.
I'm just preaching over here.
It's almost like you're a reverend.
It's almost like maybe someone ordained me at some point.
It's weird.
God bless them. So that is our podcast for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I don't know. Do people tune in? That's kind of a radio thing. Thank you so much for listening. We are so glad to have you. Join us today. Our producer is Bailey Dingley. I am Erin Moniz.
I'm Blake Dean.
We hope you enjoy the other episodes.
Thank you so much for listening. This is Mutuality Matters, and we'll be releasing episodes every 2 weeks. So go ahead and hit that subscribe button if you're excited about what's coming up. If you have thoughts, questions, or excitement, feel free to leave us a rating or a review. Or message us on our social media. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.